Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Choga is already on the line, ready to speak to us. Good afternoon to you, Pastor.
Good afternoon.
Are you well this afternoon?
I'm doing very well, thanks. And how are you?
We are doing well. Thank you so much, Pastor, and thank you so much for coming through and talking to us this afternoon. We are continuing to discuss one of the fundamental beliefs of the SDA, believers, which is death and resurrection. And of course, it's not something we really like to think about. It may even feel like an uncomfortable subject for many. But the question remains, what happens after we die? Now, yesterday we established that death is a state of unconsciousness and that the dead truly just don't know anything, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, and some sensitive things that we spoke to yesterday. Thank you so much, by the way, for yesterday's conversation. Now, Pastor, having concluded that death is an unconscious sleep, is that the end of the human being's story? What then comes after that?
So, thank you for the question. Death is not the terminal. The Bible tells us that there is going to be a resurrection. So, the idea of a resurrection has many, many texts that testify to it in the Bible. But one that is common is John chapter 5, verse 28. Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. So there is going to be a resurrection when Jesus Christ comes for the second time.
Mm. Please talk to us about that resurrection, first and second resurrection. Before you actually get into that, do you think this resurrection thing is going to happen?
Sure. We believe, actually, one of the biggest beliefs of Christianity is the resurrection. Otherwise, if there is no resurrection, then there is no point of all this thing that we are doing. What makes this thing to make sense is the hope that even if we die, one day we are going to resurrect. And the evidence that we are going to resurrect really is the fact that Jesus Christ died and resurrected. He appeared to his 12 apostles. He appeared to 120 people. He appeared to another 500 people. And when Paul wrote about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he said some of them are still alive, so that if someone during his time wanted to confirm whether Paul was telling the truth, they would go to one of the 500 and say, "Did you see Jesus Christ when he rose from the dead?" So this is a fact that is testified clearly, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that's our hope, the fact that death is not the end, but there is a resurrection. Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. Now, do talk to us then about the first and second resurrections, please.
Thank you very much. So the two resurrections that are spoken about in the Bible, there is the resurrection. Actually, if you finish verse 29 from where we read about people hearing his voice and rising up, verse 29 of John chapter 5 says, those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. So the Bible tells us that there is a resurrection of life and a resurrection of judgment. But when you read it in the book of John, you will not be able to see that there is a time difference in the resurrections. But when you get to the book of Revelation, it actually tells you that these two resurrections do not happen at the same time. The resurrection of life and the resurrection of judgment. So as you get to Revelation chapter 20 and you read from verse 5, the Bible says, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection, which means the first resurrection is at the beginning of the 1,000 years. The rest of the dead do not live until the 1,000 years are over. And when you go down to verse 6, the Bible says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So there is 1,000 years that God's people spend together with Jesus Christ in heaven. It is after the 1,000 years are expired that Jesus Christ again comes back to this earth, and then the rest of the dead are going to then rise up. But when they are rising up, they are rising up for judgment.
Tell me, so there's a first resurrection, and 1,000 years later, there's another resurrection. The resurrection is to eternal life, you say, and the other is to condemnation.
Yes.
Will all of these people see him?
Indeed. Everyone will see Jesus Christ's second coming. What is different is when. So Jesus Christ comes the second time. All the righteous are going to meet him in the air, and they are going to go to heaven and be with him for 1,000 years. And then after the 1,000 years, the holy city will come down. That's when the rest of the dead come up.
So that will be the third coming.
That's the third coming, yeah, sure. I think that's a better way of saying it.
Yeah, I think so, because, I mean, 1,000 years is a long time. So I think it's best to say it's a third coming.
It's a third coming to those who I wanted to say to us, because I hope to be part of those who resurrect. You and me are going to be part of that. So to us, it's a second resurrection. Sorry, it's a third coming, because we would have witnessed the second coming.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
To those who died and they are sinners and they haven't seen anything in the interim,
it will be
a second coming for them also.
Now, there's this... A notion that you spoke about, that they will, those who are arising after the 1,000 years are going to condemnation or something like that. What is this about, the second death or second, well, I don't know, second death? Yeah, let's call it second death.
Okay. So that same chapter I was reading to you, Revelation chapter 20, actually tells us about that, the judgment and the second death. As you go down to verse 11, the Bible says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works." Verse 14, "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So it's important then, because those whose names are in the book of life, they do not come up for condemnation. Those who are not are thrown into the lake of fire. And this lake of fire is the one that is called the second death.
Ah, I get you. I get you. So these guys are going to then die for the second time and never to resurrect again?
Yeah. So the second death is, it's tragedy, you know? So because the first death, which all of us die here on earth, it's like, what can you call it? It's like a pause, hey? But there is a continuation afterwards. You know that resurrection is going to come. And you know why resurrection is sure? It's because so long as God is still sitting on his throne, he created man out of nothing. He can bring back the dead back to life because he knows them. He has had them before. You know, he created men out of nothing, but the ones that he's resurrecting have existed before. He just brings them back to life again. But now when it comes to the second death, the reason why I'm saying it's tragic, you cease to exist in the presence of one who is omnipresent, and you cease to exist in the memory of the one who is omniscient. God decides to forget you and forget you forever. God decides to make you extinct so that even the memory of them will no longer be remembered afterwards. That's why the second death is really a tragedy.
Yeah, no, it's actually a massive tragedy. Now, there's a question here that comes on the line, Pastor. It says, are we judged according to our works or by grace?
That's an interesting question. It usually comes up whenever we have this kind of discussion. To say the Bible is saying we are judged by our works. Yes, it's true. We are judged by our works, but we are saved by grace. Our works are evidence of the operation of grace in our lives. So the works will show whether grace has had its full part in your life and transformed you or not. So it's true we are saved by grace, but we are judged by works, because the Bible says, Jesus talking about salvation, he says, by their fruits you will know them. So those who have experienced grace, the fruit of grace will be seen in their life.
Beautiful, man, beautiful. I love that brief, succinct response. Now, what happens to God's faithful people when Christ comes again?
Okay, so when Christ comes again for the second time, God's people are resurrected. When they are resurrected, they go together with Jesus Christ to heaven. They go to with Jesus Christ to heaven. And the Bible says in verse 4 of chapter 20, I saw thrones and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their heads. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So the ones who have not worshipped the beast, the ones who have not received the image of the beast, are the ones who have remained faithful and loyal to Jesus Christ. Because remember, in the book of Revelation, we do not have three groups. We do not have four groups. We only have two groups. We have people who are for Jesus Christ, and we have people who are against Jesus Christ, and therefore for this opposing power that the book of Revelation calls the beast. So those who have been faithful to Jesus Christ reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years in heaven.
When you say reign, sounds like they're in charge. They're in control. So God surrenders his control to them?
It's not like God surrenders his control to them, but they reign together with Christ. They are co-regent.
They are co-regent. Oh, so he shares the space with them.
Yeah, so you see, when you look at our thrones here on earth, like the throne the British king sits on, it's a chair. But the Jewish throne was a couch. So I want you to, when you think about the image that the book of Revelation uses, for you to think of a couch. That's why when Bathsheba came to speak to David about Solomon, the Bible says David invited Bathsheba to come and join him on his throne. And you'd wonder, how did he do that? Because it was a couch that they can sit together and then discuss issues. And the decision that David came up with was in favor of Bathsheba. So this is the same imagery John sees, where the saints are given a place to sit together with God on his throne, and judgment is being given in their favor because they are there to discuss the matters with God sitting on his throne.
Beautiful.
This
stuff.
Is what the Bible calls reigning together with him.
I get you. I get you. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for the time that you've given us this afternoon. May you be blessed. We're going to be talking to you again tomorrow at the same time and same place. Is that right?
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Lovely. Thank you so much, and stay blessed.
Be blessed too.
Sure.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.